is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That may be Dr. Drew.
No, I'm here, Adam. Relax.
Dr. Drew in Panama City, Florida, going over there for Trojan, doing a little spring break action.
That's right.
Yeah, selling his soul. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Evan Marriott is our guest tonight. He, of course, is Joe Millionaire. Evan, of course, you've seen everywhere for about the last month, and he's finally come to the end of his journey, and he's at the Loveline Studios. But nice to meet you, Evan.
Thanks a lot, Adam.
All right, so geez, I'm trying to think of all the questions to ask you that aren't the normal questions that people ask you.
Well, but first, construction questions. Adam.
Well, I got construction questions.
Good luck for both of you. On
but first, I got some basic ones that are just be ones you have been asked. Like I don't even know where you're from.
Virginia Beach, Virginia.
And you're 28, 29?
28.
And you're working there. You're doing some modeling and you're doing some construction work.
No, I haven't. Done any modeling since about 94, 95.
So you're doing?
I did one little stint one day for that underwear catalog, but that was about it.
So you're doing construction work.
Construction.
And you're driving a grader, yeah. Driving heavy equipment.
Heavy equipment, yeah.
And see, everyone, I was an ex construction worker myself, hey. And Drew wants us to do battle, but you drove heavy equipment. You didn't hang doors, right?
No, I didn't hang doors. It was. Operate bulldozers, excavators, you know, right. Motor graders, backhoes.
I can't argue with that, Drew. I didn't do that myself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you did everything.
Yeah. I drove a backhoe and I put up crown molding simultaneously, you jackass. How dare you? So you're in Virginia Beach and you're working as a construction worker.
Well, I worked as a construction worker here.
You're out here?
Yeah, I've lived here for 4 years in LA.
Okay, so you were out here before any of this started.
Oh, yeah.
Now, are you sending your picture and resume out now and again? You're going to audition now and again?
While I'm working construction?
Back a year ago.
No.
Two years ago.
No, I came out here because I had tried a construction company back in Virginia Beach, and it kind of went belly up, and I decided I want to move somewhere sunny and warm and where the girls are good. So
right.
I came to California, and I started working construction out here for a while.
So you didn't have any aspirations of being a model or celebrity when you moved out here? You just came out here for work?
Absolutely, yeah.
And you're working out here, and you're driving the backhoe, and then what happens? How do you make the transition? How do you get discovered as a Joe Millionaire?
Well, I had lived in New York when I was modeling, and there was a girl that I dated there, and one of her friends, when she and I broke up, I stayed pretty good friends with a mutual friend of ours, and he moved out here and would just invite me to these things. He was in the industry, and
right.
He would invite me to these parties, and I met a fella at a party. It was kind of like a who you know, and on down the line. And the guy remembered me, and they were looking for a guy for the show. And he said, oh, my God, I met this guy at Christmas, and he's a construction worker, and I think he'd fit the bill. So.
Now, was there an audition process, or was just he knew you'd be right for the part?
No, I think they were just taking a shot in the dark because, I mean, I could have been a total loon. I could have been, they test you medically for everything from tuberculosis to STDs and stuff
right.
like that. They run you through 3 or 4 different psych tests. And
but actually, before all that, they just call you out of the blue and say, hey, I got a job for you.
He called me. Actually, I was on the job site. I was having a really, really awful day, and he called me up and said, hey, do you remember me? My name's, Matt. I'm not going to say his full name, but it's Matt so-and-so, and I said, no, actually, I don't. And actually, I hung up on him.
Because
I was in a mood, and I was just like, look, I don't have time. I'll talk to you later. And I hung up on him. And he just kept calling back, and finally he was just like, look, this is the dilemma we're in, and I know you'd be right for this part. I know you will. You make me look so good if you just come up here and talk to these people, and I could at least give somebody to them. And I said, all right, why not?
Well, what was your life plan at that stage?
You know, it's funny that all of this happened because... I'm sorry, is your last name Drew or is it your first name is Drew? Are we talking, calling you Dr. Drew? What do you want me to call you?
All good, whatever you want.
Dr. Drew,
Big D. No, at this point in my life, before the show started, I was considering a career change anyway. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I thought maybe I'd try to get a certificate to be a personal trainer. I didn't know where I was going, and I was actually a little depressed. So why those signs didn't show up in the psych test, I don't know. But, it's amazing because they ask you, too, in these psych tests. Like, 10 different, they word it 10 different ways. In fact, Drew, you might even understand what I'm talking about. They word it 10 different ways. They ask you, you know, when was the last time you wanted to kill yourself?
Right.
You know, and they word it 10 different ways. And so by the time you're done with the damn test, you actually feel like you want to kill yourself.
Drew, does that ever happen? Patients killing themselves during the psych test?
Like, I'm just sure it has happened,
stabbing themselves in the neck with the number two pencil?
That's nice.
All right. So now you agree to do this. And I'm sorry for having to having you walk us through this, but I watch the show, but I have no idea of any of this. And every time I see a story on you, it's a quick hit. It's on Entertainment Tonight. It has to do with you and Zora, and I'm more interested in, I think, Drew and probably our audience is too, and more of the backstory. Is that correct, Drew?
Absolutely.
All right, Drew.
Yeah.
You all right over there today?
I'm great.
Okay. So now you agree to do this. Maybe it's at a certain point, maybe you think, this is more than I bargained for, or you gung ho. I mean, we saw the episode where you're kind of wigging out a little bit.
You know, the most nervous I was probably on the show was when I was training, because that was the very first thing that I did on camera. They had me train on the horse, and then they actually had me at the point that they actually had me ride up to the girls. I was nervous because I knew that this, all right, we're starting. There's no turning back now.
Right.
And then you just kind of settle into a pace, and you just kind of go with it. You got to get used to the cameras. It's weird because you're used to the cameras being there, but you're not really used to them being there.
Right.
You're used to them being around, but you're still in a very unnatural situation.
In fact, we asked the Osborne kids about this, and they were saying, "Yeah, you're always aware of the cameras. You're just used to them."
Yeah. I guess it's the same thing. I mean, it's like when we see people on Cops try to take a baseball bat to their neighbor's mailbox in front of the camera crew.
It's always great.
Yeah. Yeah. A little booze. You had a little champagne over there. That always helps you forget about the cameras.
Yeah, and when I was outside, too, I also tried to... Sometimes I'd just sit there and try to pretend that they were like gardeners. And like my peripheral vision, I was like, oh, it's just a gardener. It's kind of hard to do when you're in the house.
So now what are you going to do now? I mean, I'm sure people are coming at you with all kinds of kooky offers.
No bondage offers or anything.
But there's, I mean, like, give us, have you turned down anything? Like, someone called me yesterday and wanted to know if I wanted to host, I wanted to pitch a porn bloopers. I was going to go on late night TV and have video cassettes of porn bloopers, and I would be the pitch person for it. Have you gotten anything? Did they get to you first for the porn bloopers? Like,
where was I during that? I wish I'd
you do that.
Porn bloopers.
I should have sent them your way. But I mean, you got a commercial here. It says you just finished something for KFC. But what's the overall plan, or do you have one?
You know, I didn't. The fact that I wasn't, you know, acting wasn't my, as they say in the, is this a trade it wasn't a passion of mine. I'm not going to be stupid though and not try to cash in on what I can. I mean, if people are offering, like I'm going to about 10 or 15 different cities across the United States starting next week, for some pretty good loot, you know, just making appearances places. And I'd be stupid if I didn't do that.
Right.
You know,
because one day,
Adam.
But pretty good loot. Not $3,000 to travel on 15 planes to go see a bunch of college kids drunk throwing your own condoms back at you, Drew. Please. Heaven has good management. Yeah, you got to strike while the iron is hot.
I thought you were going to say good manners before you got out management. Heaven
no.
has good manners.
No, not good manners, saying, no. but good management. No. That's what I'm saying. All right, so basically you're going to just sort of ride this pony until it bucks you off.
Yeah.
Okay, that's smart. And you got to trade. That's the important part. It's like me. If the radio falls through,
you
if anything
thing
falls
was
through,
the horse.
Go back
listen,
to carpentry.
I have a question, though. You were sort of confused and depressed before all this. It seems like, and it sounds like, you're sort of even more confused now, even though you have an opportunity to cash in short term. Have your long term plans changed?
You know, it's not that I'm confused because I still am very, it's very uncertain as to where my future is
that's
going.
That's what I mean.
Okay, yeah, but I, you know, and when I said I was depressed, I've always kind of, how is the easiest way to put this? I've always been a little bit bigger than my britches. When I was younger, I always wanted to be more of an adult. I was I tried to start this construction company at 21, 22, and no one could tell me any different. So, you know, I felt like I was behind. At age 28, I was like, gosh, I'm not going anywhere with my life. I'm not making any money. I'm not saving for a future and stuff like that. And my father's looking at me saying, God, you're only 28. What are you worried about? So that was a lot of my own fault, you know.
But let me explain something to you, Drew, as I've explained to you many times in my own situation. Most people don't have a plan. I don't mean this in a bad way. It's good. No. You come from a place where you have a plan, where you have a plan for your kids, where people look out for each other. You know, I mean, your kids are 10 years old. You're thinking about where they're going to go to college. You're putting away money for them to go to college. You're planning for the future, and the same was done for you, which is good. It makes you successful. But most of the idiots I grew up with, and probably Evan too, and including me being
the biggest idiot,
including ourselves. I mean, Evan's 28. When I was 28, I lived with three guys in La Crescenta, and I swung a hammer. No one has a plan.
Do you ever pee on your friends?
Oh, they had it coming, Drew.
Is that a question for me or him?
Yeah, because Adam's equating you with him and his 28-year-old career.
No, I peed on my cousin once when I was 10.
Yeah, that's right, he did. See?
I peed on my cousin on the beach. I remember I was like 10 years old, and I dug a hole and put like rafts over like a fort, and I peed on him. I don't know why.
Nice.
I don't know why.
I knew I liked this guy. I'm just saying.
You guys are separated at birth.
Most of the guys I grew up with at 28 didn't have a plan other than work.
Did you ever, Evan,
not
did you ever
get in jail?
Did you ever borrow a hat from someone and then crap in it and give it back to them?
No.
No, never did.
I didn't do that.
Adam's thing.
No, Ray borrowed my Rams beanie and crapped in it and gave it back to me like a lunch bag. How dare he? I'm still mad at him.
All right.
You just don't get good entertainment like that nowadays.
No, this is the point. We didn't have cable back in the day. We had to make our own entertainment. We had to crap in hats. That's what they did. That's what they played stickball, and then they went home at night, they listened to the radio, and then they crapped in a Rams beanie. This is the way people would entertain themselves. I don't know why you find that so bizarre, Drew. With your laser discs and your video satellite.
So you relieved yourself before you went to bed as opposed to in the morning.
That's right.
Oh, no. That was Adam in his popcorn tin.
Oh, okay.
All right. Drew, please. What is it? Is this turning into a roast? I'm trying to make a point that a lot of 28-year-old people don't have a plan. That's all I'm saying.
I'll give you that.
Jesus,
I'll get it. But my point was,
it's amazing. I mean, to cut you off with a girl today. I met a girl today that's 19 years old. I've known her for a couple weeks, but I just had an in-depth conversation for the first time today. She said, she wants to be a doctor. Her mother was very emphatic at the fact this girl wanted to be a doctor, and I'm thinking, well, that's great. She knows what she wants to do at age 19.
Yeah. Well, you pretty much have to start that all then. But the fact, though, is what I was asking was, it seemed like it kind of bothered you. You didn't know where you were going, and all this stuff has happened, but it hasn't helped give you a direction yet. Yeah, maybe it will, but you're
saying, I tell you what, and I'm, you know, the financial, the fact that I'm a little...
Makes you feel better.
Yeah, the fact that I'm a little more padded in the pockets now financially gives me a little more freedom.
There you go. All right. There we go.
Money's not everything, but damn it, it sure helps.
No, but yeah, it does.
I'm just looking to see how this has changed things for him, so that's it.
It does buy you time. Yeah, you want to know the psychological impact of this ordeal on Evan, and you want to weave in some me cramping in a hat stories?
I did it all, didn't I?
All right.
Thank you.
Danielle?
Yes?
You're 21.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I'm sleeping with my admissions director.
Uh-oh, I'm not hearing anything.
All right, well, just be quiet until you hear something then. Go ahead, Daniel.
Okay.
I mean, Danielle.
Thank you.
Okay, I actually met him before I applied to school.
All right, she's sleeping with her admissions director in school. See,
yeah.
This is someone who has a plan.
This is college or what?
Yeah, she's 21.
Yeah, so you knew him before you...
Well, actually, I had met him on the bus. We got up at the same stop. It turns out he lives just down the street from me. And
you met him at a bus stop? Is that what you said?
Yeah, on a bus stop. Yeah, we were on a bus. And he asked me, I had a book bag on me, and he asked me if I was going to school. And I said, you know, no, but I want to. All right. Yeah. Well, anyway, he asked me, but he ended up giving me an interview in his house.
What courses are you taking?
Oh, boy.
I'm just kidding.
nothing happened that day. But, you know... He really went out of his way to get me in school. I mean, I almost didn't get to go. I was trying to file for financial aid, independent status.
All right, well, wait a minute. You met him before you started school.
Yeah.
He bent over backwards to get you admitted into school.
Then you bent over forwards to help him out.
Adam, junior college, yes or no?
No.
Yes, I
am. No.
Listen, anyone gets to go to junior college. All right, so you're going to a decent college.
No, it's a nice school.
I said a decent college.
Okay.
Shut up. Boy, she's annoying, this one. All right, now you were sleeping with the guy before this, but did he break any rules?
No, I didn't sleep with him until I got into school.
Okay, all right. Did he break any rules to get you into college?
No.
What's your dilemma?
No, yeah. My dilemma is this. I've always had a serious boyfriend. Well, I've only had three serious boyfriends.
So what's your dilemma?
My dilemma is I'm sleeping with him now. And
who, your boyfriends or the submissions director?
The admissions director. Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, where's your boyfriend?
I don't have a boyfriend right now. My boyfriend and I we had just broken up.
All right, listen, I'm done caring. I don't care. you broke up with your boyfriend. You're sleeping with the guy.
Yes. Do you feel like he's doing it to gain anything?
No.
Are you having a good time?
No, what happened was...
But are you having a good time?
Yes, but...
And is it hurting anything? Is it hurting you? Is it hurting him?
No.
Sounds like sex to me. All right.
I think now, I mean, I got into it thinking, you know, I wanted this to be just a sex thing because, you know, it was great and everything. And I haven't really been with a lot of people. And I said I didn't want to be in a relationship with him, and I was cool not having a relationship with him. But he started telling me all these things like, oh, you're special to me, and am I your boyfriend? I'm going to do this for you and that for you and all this stuff. And the minute I asked him where the relationship was going, he just kind of backed away, and now he doesn't have time for me. Now he doesn't call me. Whenever he calls me.
That's good. Stay away. That's good.
I don't know why it was, but I somehow, maybe it's just my mood, but I decided 8 seconds into that call that we were not going to be able to communicate with Danielle at all. Did you guys all get that same feeling?
Yeah, unfortunately, but Danielle, the outcome is fine. She's good. Stay there. Don't stay away.
She got into school. I mean, isn't that what her goal was?
She got into school. Something's up with this guy. Just stay away. She had the sexual thing. She didn't want to have a relationship. She didn't get one. Good. Fine. Good luck.
That's one hell of an admission fee that a lot of girls would like to have.
I got something off the topic, but I saw Buzz Aldrin taking a leak today. I walked in on him in a porta potty.
What?
Yeah.
Where were you?
I was at the Willow Springs at the racetrack doing training for that celebrity Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach thing that wormed my way into. Buzz Aldrin is one of the guys. He was taking a leak in the porta potty, and I flung the door open, and there he was.
How was it?
It was regal. I mean, you know, guys, how often do you get to see an astronaut taking a leak? Yeah. All right.
How old is that guy?
Oh, God, he's got to be getting around 70.
70, yeah.
Yeah.
Lucky he could make it to the gym.
Yeah. Oh, he's still solid. He's one of those, you know, hey, Drew?
Yeah?
Let me ask you this. When guys get older, some of them get sort of decrepit looking. Some of them sort of start to shrivel up. Other guys just turn into all forehead and hands and feet, and they start walking like apes. Like, you know how you would make, remember when you're a kid, you'd make your army men walk, you know, kind of clump, clump, and they shake your hand like, oh, I'm Buzz Aldrin, and they start squeezing your hand real hard, and they got these huge bony hands, and they become sort of all forearm and hand and forehead, and their ass starts getting lower, but their knees don't bend. Their legs get wider apart, and they start walking like, clump.
They walk
like gunslingers who've squared off in the middle of town.
It's like the center of gravity. They become more dense and lower.
Yes. Right? I imagine, like, Buzz Aldrin at one point was probably 6'1 and 180 pounds, and now he's 5'8 and he's 205 pounds. And it's all hand and forearm, you know? And
maybe he has acromegaly. I mean, that's something because a syndrome you get where actually your hands expand, your forehead, your brow comes out, and everything.
It works good because, like, it's like you go, yeah, he's an astronaut. I bet I could kick his ass. Then you shake his hand, you go, that old man would crush me like a beer can. you know, like, I think they do it to intimidate, too. They go, like, that's like, don't F with me, you young effer. I still got some grip in me. I still got some life in these astronaut hands.
That's right.
All right, let's talk to...
Did he pee on you?
No, he didn't pee on me. I just flung the thing open and was staring at him, urinating into the pot from the backside.
Good time.
Silk?
Yeah, hey, Adam, how's it going?
You're 13?
Yep.
What's your name?
Silk.
Yeah, well, that's what he calls himself.
So, did you not call like 3 days ago?
I did.
Yeah.
True Nose Voices.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, do we like him 3 days ago?
This is the guy that you named Silk, Adam, because he's so unsilky.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Well, what do you want?
All right. Well, I have a question for Evan. And I want to know, Evan, if the reason you didn't pick Sarah was because of that little foot fetish thing that she had or something related to that that made you think differently about your decision.
I didn't know about that till I got back to the States. Actually, I didn't know about that till about 3 weeks before the show was over.
So why not Sarah?
Actually, I like Sarah. It's just, you know, I knew that I was going to pick Zora a week into the show because...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Why?
Is it one of those sort
fun
of
little
just,
factoid for you?
But was that just one of those sort of attraction things?
No, or? The show was based around, you know, finding 20 women or finding one girl out of the 20 women that would accept me for me and didn't care how much I made and didn't care what I did. And
was Zora that important to you?
Zora was that girl. Well, they put me on the show to find the girl out of that 20, and that's what I did. And I found her within a week, but I didn't tell production that.
How did you know? I mean. Did you really get a sense that the other 19 or maybe the majority of the others would not be into you minus the cash?
Yeah, I did with some of them. I got that feeling, but the thing with Zora is that when we were out on our date in Paris, she didn't even want to be there. She wanted to go home. She could have cared less who I was, anything. It tipped me off when she said, you know, I wish I could just get on a plane and go home right now because I don't like what's going on here. And that's when I went, doing. I mean, the light bulb went off in my head. Oh, I said, well, this
I thought
is the
that
girl.
Was his penis.
Well, yeah, that too.
yeah, no, that's
by
boing.
By the time I saw her breast, doing, the end, I was going boing.
Boing, yeah. There you go.
There it is. Thank you.
There it is.
All right.
It sounds so much better than me.
We're going to take a little break here. Evan Marriott is here. Of course, Joe Millionaire. Well, Drew is over here in over there in Panama City, Florida. Drew, you sounding much better tonight.
Thank you.
Still warm there?
Still can
it
hear.
It is warm. A lot of electrical storm and rain and stuff, though, but then it's hot during the day. It was beautiful today. We had a big event for the Trojan people. It was
love
nice.
Thunderstorms.
Good times. Yeah, I do, too, except for when I'm flying. You know what I can't figure out with the... let me just ask something real quick. I was thinking about this last time when we saw electrical storm when we were over there in North Carolina last week, which is...
Yes.
Is lightning dangerous or not? Like... Here's what
I
mean.
But if you remember, Adam, they came as we were walking back to our trailers talking about this. One of the production assistants said, "Oh yeah, our wardrobe person has been hit by lightning 5 times."
Yeah,
I thought one time and that's it.
Well, this is my point. Well, first off, that's just God putting a contract on you. Like you get hit by lightning 5 times, you got to just kill yourself because the big man's trying to put you in the ground. But here's what I'm saying: you got these guys that get hit with lightning 5 times, they're still fine. You got other guys who get hit with lightning, they're dead
immediately.
They
vaporize. Yeah, they vaporize.
Now, you're flying a plane, and there's a thunderstorm, there's a lightning storm, and it's like, well, you can still fly. It's not good if the plane gets hit. And then you hear about some senator was flying last week, and it blew a hole in the wing of the plane. So, which is it? I mean, is it dangerous? Can you fly? Yeah. Should you not be flying?
Did
I mean,
he what, die? Great question. Yeah.
No, they just, the lightning struck the plane, blew a hole in the wing, and they were able to land safely. But there's other scenarios where holes are blown in planes.
I'd have blown a hole through that seat if I'd have seen
people,
it. God, if I'd seen that.
People, yeah. I mean, that's my point. I mean, like, I don't know, like, when there's a lightning storm, it's like, I always want to raise my hand and go, should we be flying? Is this the same lightning that hit the wardrobe guy 5 times and he's fine, or is this the one that kills people?
where in Carolina were you guys?
We're in Wilmington. Doing a little Dawson's Creek. That's right. See, we're just riding that pony, too. We'll take a little break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there in Panama City tonight. Drew, you're going to be back here on Sunday?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Evan Marriott is our guest tonight. Joe Millionaire, and he's a man without a plan, and I like that. There's nothing worse than those blowhard celebrities or personalities that come in here and want to talk about all the irons they have in the fire. He's bold, and he's going nowhere. And I appreciate that. He's making hay while the sun shines. That's what I want to say.
You should have heard it, Adam. Evan, he didn't talk so glowingly of you before, though. He was saying, oh, construction worker, I'll kick his ass. I don't believe that.
No, I said I know more about carpentry than he does.
Oh, okay.
Actually, we think a lot alike.
Yeah, see, I was just giving him some of my homespun advice during the break, Drew.
Oh, what'd you tell him?
Tell him buy low. No, I told him to buy a house and crap in his buddy's beanie if he's giving him trouble. Times. Yeah.
Evan, do you have a cold?
Yeah, actually, I'm just getting over a sinus infection.
Everyone's got this damn thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Went to my ears.
Oh, that's
watch
bad.
Watch when you're flying. It's a pain in the ass.
Anyways, went to my ears the day before I was supposed to get on a flight to back to the East Coast, and I thought, that's a joy.
Yeah, that sucks when you're laying in your ears popping and everyone's giving you their home remedies. Chew gum, blow, hold your nose, and blow. It serves to distract you and not think about it and keep you busy, but it never seems to actually work. All right, let's get back to the phones. And, phone screener Brian and Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit. Let's get some chicks on the line here because guys are bad. Jesse?
Yo.
I picked you because you were the only one that could have been the possible chick out of Ian, John, and Henry.
I kind of figured.
All right, well, what's up there, Jesse? You're 17.
Yeah, I was kind of curious. I got my 18th coming up in like a month or so, and I was wondering if there would be any like health hazards or risks I'd be taking if I got my ladder pierced.
Your what pierced?
Like my nuts, like that center vein going up that
Ooh. See?
That center vein going up that
Word there, Evan. Oh. I know, it sounds like it's the kind of show we should be able to talk about it on.
That's what the guy said. He said that center vein going up.
Yeah. That's what he said, all right. Well, first of all, if they're piercing a vein, he'll bleed to death. So I hope they're not going after a vein.
Well, I'm going to bail on that one. You guys take over.
Evan, you don't have any piercings?
No.
No.
Oh, dude, you're a square. You're not cool.
I had an ear pierced when I was like, I was like 16 or something.
Calling all nerds.
Yeah, really.
Hey, three guys living in Los Angeles, not a piercing between us.
Amongst us, yeah.
All right, or amongst us. All right, so anyway. See, I went with Jesse because his name sounded the most like a chick.
Is there a pad on there?
Still bad.
Yeah. All right, let's talk to Ian, who's 21. Ian?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, I'm calling from the Salt Lake area. Basically, I just wanted to talk real quick about the Elizabeth Smart thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, down here, you know, she's kidnapped from her home, turns up right back in the valley 9 months later alive.
Right,
yeah.
I can't turn on TV or radio or anything except for your show without hearing about it.
Right.
And here we are, now we're talking about it.
Yeah, thanks, so A-hole.
I figured I might as well ask, what's your guys' opinion kind of outside of the valley? I don't know how much media you guys are about it.
We're hearing about it. Well, the first thing I want to say is I believe last night I brought it up, and I said 14 or 15, and everyone yelled, no, 11. She was 11 when she got kidnapped,
right.
And 12.
Right.
Did that go on last night or not?
There was a lot of...
Yes, it was Anderson was saying it, yes.
How dare you? I never said anything
you.
Like that. How dare
she's
you?
She's 14. She's 14.
I said she got abducted when she was 11. Everyone's like yelling at me. Oh!
I was asleep with my back to you at that point.
I don't understand what the controversy is. She was abducted at gunpoint.
Knife
point, whatever. She developed sort of a Stockholm syndrome, and, there you go.
Well, the reason out here they're just making a big deal about it is because, a kid gets kidnapped, and, automatically you just assume 3 weeks to a year later, you're going to find the body dead in the woods.
Yes.
9 months later, she's still alive, and she looks, this kid looks fed, she looks happy,
Yeah.
So what do you think? You think the parents were doing up to something?
What's your point, Ian?
Just kind of strange that she would, just show up out of the blue and, not seem all that traumatized and everything,
Well, hold on a second.
These guys weren't around for the Patty Hearst days.
Yeah, you don't remember having a Patty Hearst or even, it sort of reminds me of, this guy reminds me of sort of a Charlie Manson type.
I never even knew she was gone. Was she ever in the news?
She was one of the first ones you kicked out of the mansion.
Yeah, it's probably.
All right, but.
Those girls are still back there, still missing.
Ian, what is, I know there's peculiar circumstances here, but it's not all that far-fetched to me.
No. The most peculiar part about it is that a 14-year-old was able to be abducted relatively easily and coerced relatively easily. That's kind of peculiar. But beyond that, I mean, remember, Patty Hearst was kept in a closet and raped and just, you know, and ended up becoming one of the SLA revolutionaries.
That's right.
When she was rescued, she didn't look so bad.
Right.
A year later.
No. Now she looks bad. Hey, Ian?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a theory, or I mean, are you getting at something? I guess is the question.
Personally, my theory, you know, nobody would agree with that. I'd just say she ran away with the guy, you know.
Yeah. Look, if there
doesn't
were
make a difference. He aided and abetted in it. She's underage, and he helped her.
If the guy looked like Evan, I'd probably say you may have a point. But the guy looks like a cross between like a Jim Croce and a coyote. Yeah. If Jim Coyote, I don't know why I'm thinking about Jim Croce today in his plane, but the point is, this is a very unattractive, unkempt man. Yeah. It doesn't, and is sort of hag of a gal, and it doesn't seem like they make a very attractive couple for a young 14-year-old. I mean,
maybe she thought he had a lot of
money. She's a child.
Money.
He's an adult. He should never have taken her. He should have returned her if he knew where she was.
I guess what we're all talking about here, as long as we're talking about it, is you keep saying, well, how does it happen that this person is not chained to a radiator back at a hotel or motel? You know what I mean? She can get up and run away. She can yell for help. Why didn't she do anything? And the answer is 14-year-olds can have their brains turned around pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And this one evidently had her brain turned around pretty quickly. And, you know, this guy was probably saying stuff like, you ever make a move, I'll kill your family.
Right.
You know, I know where they live. You know, I can get to them. He could have been saying, I got a partner of mine is sitting out front of their house right now. All I got to do is pick up this styrofoam walkie-talkie and say the code word, and they're going to go in and kill mommy and daddy. I mean, for all we know. So she had her brain turned around, and that's what happened. She's 14. She's a kid, and she's traumatized.
There you go.
Thank you. You agree with all that, Drew?
Yep. Strangely, I do.
All right, let's talk to Meredith, who hopefully is a female. Meredith?
Yeah, hello?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi. I was wondering, am I still considered a virgin if my boyfriend fingered me?
Yes.
Yes. The penis didn't pass the plane of the vagina.
He didn't use his penis to finger you, did he?
Did he finger you in the dark when you couldn't see anything?
No.
Ooh. Ooh.
And what? So. Because
that might not have been his finger.
Yeah.
Right. Huh?
Okay. See, I told you.
I'm sure it wasn't.
When we go to the women, it's all gold. All right, so you want to remain a virgin, Meredith?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, my parents are real big Christians, and I just don't want to disappoint them.
All right.
Mental note, use guilt when coercing my daughter what the choices to make in life.
Everybody, right.
Got it.
All right. And they want you to wait till you get married?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when do you, how long have you been with your boyfriend?
About 5 months.
5 months. All right. And what have you done with him? What do you give him anything?
No.
Nothing. He just give you the finger, that's it?
Yeah.
You give him the boot. Fine. And you're content for this to go on for a while?
Yeah, I plan on it.
Okay. All right.
Good times.
There's your answer.
Well, enjoy.
Thanks.
All right, we'll see you in hell. All right. My God is more offended by the finger banging than he is by the penetration. He really is. That's my God, because penetration, at least we got an excuse. It's like, hey, this is procreation. I mean, this is what you got to do. But the finger bang, you guys got a beer in one hand and your vagina in the other. You got your pants pulled down, you know. I mean, there's something cruder about that. As you get older, I know when you're younger, you sort of do things in order. It's like, well, I got to grab a boob, then I got to do some fingering and all that stuff. But as an adult, fingering plays almost no role in my life anymore. Like as an adult male, Evan, the fingering, not so big as it was in high school. Yeah. Am I right?
Not doing anything, no.
No, it's really, as a guy.
But it's amazing because the touching the boob still does. So we go back to that.
Yeah, I could make a bigger argument for touching the boob than the fingering. Yeah. But Drew, What? I know you would argue with that because you're passionate.
No.
Yes?
Fingering, fingering thing always just seemed like some sort of milestone that you needed to have gotten through.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So wasn't it amazing, though? It was like, once you got there, it was just like, wow.
Yeah.
It was just like this, and then it's gone.
So yeah. What?
Yeah, but yeah. The fingering was sort of the security you had to pass through at the airport.
Yeah.
You know, is this something I got to do? It's a hassle. What are you going to do? Take my shoes off.
Don't you remember when you actually got the finger down there? It was like, wow, you really thought you were going places.
Oh yeah.
You really thought you were going, you know, this is going to happen.
That was the whole point. It was one of those mile markers you saw on the way to the finish line. Just so often you pulled up lame and never crossed the line.
They have you talk about this stuff on Access Hollywood and Entertainment Tonight.
Sure.
Well, Mary Hart and I were going to get into it pretty hot and heavy on Entertainment Tonight about, you know, her sexual feelings and mine. And
I just
really?
Saw. I just,
no,
Drew,
not really.
Drew, are you high?
Yes.
Really? I just saw just a couple nights ago, Pat O'Brien was like, next up, Joe Millionaire finger bangs.
His feelings about it.
Drew, you're the only guy I know who brings stuff up, then has someone go along with the joke, and then gets confused.
that's the beauty of me.
All right there, buddy. You have yourself another cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Tell those a-holes in the background to quiet down. I can hear some of those jack-offs yelling in the background.
Fair enough.
All right. Evan Marriott is here tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Evan Marriott is our guest tonight. He's a Joe Millionaire. Dr. Drew is back in Panama City, Florida. Yes, Drew?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's right. Somebody dropped a nickel in Panama City. Evan is, I was just thinking, you must have gotten, we were talking earlier about weird cashing in and all that kind of stuff, weird offers. Playgirl must have offered you a ton of money to pose.
No.
No?
I haven't heard a thing.
Haven't gotten hold of you.
Thank God.
Really?
Yeah. They didn't have any money.
That must mean they're broke. Yeah. We got to get the homo's ante up, see if we can even get Evan naked. It's no money because if there was the sort of equivalent to Evan in females, Playboy would be coming through with some serious money. I mean, Playboy.
Well, you know, it's funny. Playboy, I think, offered Sarah like $500 for total nude and like $250 for like topless.
Well, that's the first time we've heard a price.
And I mean, this is what I heard from some pretty good sources. But then again, they could be totally full of crap. And supposedly she opted for the topless only.
Oh well, we got that to look forward to. And what's if you just want to show one boob, is that $1.25?
Yes, that's probably what that is.
I'd like to work that out, Drew, where it's like, I'm not prepared to go full nude, but I'll show like an ass cheek and one nut. Let's call it like $80,000. I'll show an elbow, an ass cheek, and a nut for $100. All right, that's my final offer. And a little sphincter. Just a little. All right.
Drew. Can't be a Jerry from a Survivor up and she wouldn't talk about the price?
Well, this is what people do, and this is why Evan is sort of refreshing, because Jerry came up here from Survivor, and she was like, had her Playboy thing, you know, and I was like, so what happened?
I think I've got that issue, by the way.
And they were saying, Jerry was saying, well, you know, we went back and forth and back and forth, and then eventually the time was right. And I said, well, eventually they offered you enough money, and you went with it. And she was like, no, it had nothing to do with money. And I said, well, you wouldn't have done it for free, would you? And she was like, no. I was like, well, so it had something to do with money. And she's like, no, it was an artistic statement. And I was like, look, everybody, you do stuff for money. I don't know why in this business we have to pretend like we don't do stuff for money. In every other business, it's very clear. I mean, when you're driving a backhoe or swinging a hammer or you're an attorney or whatever you are, you go to work to earn money and you do stuff for money. Now, you don't want to endanger yourself or endanger anyone else or being scrupulous or whatever, but you work to do stuff. That's fine. I don't know what the big deal with that is. No one in this business will talk about what they made for a commercial or how much so-and-so offered or what they got paid for this gig or that gig. I don't understand why it's such incredible taboo in this business to admit that you get paid to do things. Yeah. And to admit that you would not get naked and let people take pictures of you unless someone gave you some cash. And by the way, if they said, I'll give you 10 grand, no. That would not be enough cash. Maybe now for Jerry, but not 2 years ago. All right, so I see another female name up here. Let's try Meg, who's 20. Meg?
Hi.
What's up?
Well, I had a kind of a interesting question here. Last August, I hooked up with a guy friend from work, and we were just, you know, kind of screw buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided we didn't want to be anything more but friends with benefits, and I ended up getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an abortion, and we agreed that we weren't going to pursue a really serious relationship, but I still had to work.
Whoa. We agreed, or he said he wasn't willing to?
No, we agreed.
So you didn't want a relationship either?
No.
No way?
No way.
If he had said, you know what, I'm falling in love with you, we need to get involved here, how would you have reacted to that?
I would have been iffy just because I'm so young. I'm not really ready for a serious relationship.
All right, she's 20, but let me just cut you off for a second, Meg. Drew, I know what Drew's getting at, and I'm getting at it too, at least emotionally, which is we don't know. If a woman calls in and says, we're just going to be screw buddies and we agreed it was just one of those friends with benefits things, it's either one of two scenarios. Either you're lying to yourself,
mm-hmm.
meaning he's just making it clear that's all he wants and that's the only way you can be close to him, so you just go with it on his rules, but you wish it was another way. Or you're just damaged. I mean, you got trouble. You got serious intimacy issues. So which one is it?
Well, we had talked about, you know, what we wanted.
Forget about we.
I gave you an A or B. Which one is it?
I didn't want to get seriously involved just because I'd rather be able to have sex and not have any attachment.
All right, so you're damaged.
I'm damaged, yeah.
All right, so what happened? Your dad died or what happened?
Oh, I had a 2-year relationship when I was younger, and it went crappy, so I guess
no.
I don't want
no,
to get serious.
That's not it.
Your dad?
Where's your
something?
Dad?
Where's my dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's in Oregon somewhere.
Yeah, he's out of your life, though.
Yeah.
All right,
he left when you were young.
Well, he and my mom split up when I was like 14.
And he left?
No, actually, my mom left him.
All right, wait a minute.
My
dad actually has a sex addiction.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Right, here we go.
Now.
Okay, wait a minute. He has a sex addiction or he just cheats on your mom?
No, he has a sexual addiction.
Ooh. Like, define the sexual addiction.
After 20 years of marriage, he could never keep it in his pants.
That's cheating on your mom.
He made pornographic phone calls. Mm-hmm. I mean, all kinds of
Is he an alcoholic?
No, not to my knowledge. I know he had a coke problem when he was younger, but...
All right, so he's an addict. Usually stimulant addiction and a sexual addiction go together, and usually when they try to stop the stimulants, that's when the sexual addiction emerges.
Well,
that's... But the real is here, you had a very seriously disturbed relationship with Dad.
Yeah.
And Dad is a sick guy, and so it's tough for you to have a relationship with man unless they're abusive and unavailable.
True.
I don't want to look at it that way, but you may be right.
All right. Yeah. Well, this guy's certainly unavailable.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't want to make myself available to him.
Right, okay.
But the thing is that, okay, I had an abortion, I had to deal with that, and this guy was my friend, and he was there for me and saw me through it.
Right.
But ever since then, things have been really, really, really weird between us, and I have to work around the guy.
Yeah.
He's a bartender where I work, so yeah. I don't know how to approach him on it, be like, hey, you know what, we were friends before, can we be friends again, or...
No, guys can't do
that.
Yeah,
you just leave him alone. I mean, you don't crap where you eat.
That's right.
What you do, so.
That's why, yeah.
You know, so you
don't
just...
crap in my Rams bean either.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Ray, goddammit, did you hear that?
But listen, guys are not very good about being friends after they've been intimate with somebody. They just, they want to pretend it didn't happen. They want to slink away and not have a relationship with you.
Look,
very often.
No. Yeah, but yes, you're right, but guys can if they genuinely feel like the chick is cool. And it's no big deal.
If you didn't feel you're a threat, I agree.
Yeah, I've had these situations before where you get involved with somebody's in some circle or group, and then it goes away, and you don't have that weird vibe or weird tension when you're around them. Maybe they're seeing somebody else. The pressure's off. But Megan, I think maybe you're still interested in this guy.
Well, For a while, when we were having sex, I did start to get interested, and that's why we cut things off, because I didn't want to get attached to him.
Yeah, but
you said you were screw buddies, but were you, like, going out on dates at all? I mean, were you just coming over and screwing, and then, okay, and then he leaves?
No, we were hanging out, like, as friends. We weren't, like, going out on dates. We'd go and just hang out, play pool, have a couple.
I tell you what, I don't go screwing my friends. I mean, my friends are my friends, and the girls that I date are the girls that I, you know,
screw,
sexual relations
or give
with.
The so, finger bang.
Yeah, I mean, I consider girlfriends friends, you know, because that's what you want in a relationship. You want a friend, but it sounds like you had more than just a screw relationship to me.
All right, well, I'm going to sum this up, Meg.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad's horrible, and you had, you know, a lot of trauma with that guy.
I have a good stepdad, though. My
All right.
Stepdad's really cool.
That's a good thing. That's a positive. You're not totally whacked out, but you're in a ton of denial with this kind of stuff.
Oh,
you won't
God.
Let
Just
yourself...
Way up
you're
in your head
way,
about it, yeah.
way up in your head. You are interested in this guy. You can't admit it to yourself, and you won't let yourself become interested in this guy, at least in your head. Your gut is interested, your heart is interested, and that's what the guy feels, and that's why it's weird. He knows there's weird conflicting energy around Meg, and she's free. If she was, you know, people do this all the time, like, oh man, I told him I was totally cool, and I told him, hey man, we had sex and now we're friends, and I just wish he could get over it. Well, he can't get over it because you can't get over it. You're stuck on it. That's why you're calling this show. If you really don't care about the guy and you really just want to go about being friends with the guy, then your vibe is different and you're just working with him, and in 2 days he's cool again. All right, Drew, am I right?
You are completely right.
I am, right?
Yes.
Right, buddy?
Completely.
All right.
Completely.
Evan Marriott is here. He's Joe Millionaire, of course. He's going to hang out with us. Drew's over there in Panama City, Florida, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. He is in Panama City, Florida tonight. Evan Marriott is our guest tonight. And the mic is hot. All right, let's see. Next week, Joe Rogan's coming in here. Greg Proops, Victoria Silvstedt. That's a good thing.
Ow!
Yeah. We haven't seen her in a long time.
It's been a little while, but I have seen her on TV a time or two, and she's holding up quite nicely. Evan, you broke up. I mean, you and Zora, you got together on the show, but then it didn't last much after the show, right?
Right.
And I don't think anyone blames you. I think it's kind of. Yeah, my sense of the whole thing was.
I really thought America was going to be ticked. They were actually very supportive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think they appreciated sort of the honesty and the candor, but. My sense was you got some money in your pocket, you're good looking, and everyone knows you now. You got to get out and have some kicks for a while, right? Was that generally the vibe? I mean,
you know, it's odd because the irony of about the show is that the show was, like I said before, about finding one of the girls of the 20 or finding a girl that liked me for me.
Right.
Now, I've got that same problem because I don't know if girls are coming up to me because they're like me, or they're like the guy on the show.
Well, who cares? That's my
answer. Yeah, it's really who does. But I mean, it's, you know, it's still, you wonder what the, because, you know, it's kind of like you kind of have to watch your back now. It's like, what are they after? Are they gonna fall down and go, oh, I broke my leg, you know, in a kind of a way. You know what I'm saying? It's like, are they gonna cry?
Right. Well, is Zora okay? Is she heartbroken?
No.
Did you guys just sort of agree on?
No, she's
on the split.
No, actually, she's fine with it. I mean, she's doing little events herself, making appearances places and stuff.
So, I mean, you guys both sort of just agreed that listen, I'm not going to meet my mate doing a TV show.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do because you signed a contract. Yeah. But now that the cameras are off and we've come to an end, we'll go our separate ways.
It's reality entertainment is really what I think they ought to rename it. And because, you know, you're not going to be... These people start these reality shows, and I think people across America think that when these reality shows are started, that they start and they end, you know, au naturel. You know, everything is... Nothing's scripted, nothing's... You know, if you did that, God, these networks would lose a ton of money because the shows aren't going to end the way they want them to end. You know,
right.
Reality doesn't. You can't predict reality. You can't predict the future.
Right.
So they have to kind of guide it. You know, as the show goes on, they say, okay, you know what? We really need this because this is going to help the ratings. Or we need to end it like this because that's really going to pop, you know, that's really going to make a big impact on the end of the show. I mean, if you just put it on autopilot and let it float, you know, these reality shows would go nowhere.
So, yeah, I mean, they have...
Does that make sense?
No, I think what you're saying is, and I agree, I think if this is what you're saying, is you're doing a show, you have to have a sort of structure to it. I mean, you have to have a sort of beginning, middle, and end. And even though it's a reality show, there's an object to it.
Exactly.
It's almost like a game show or an obstacle course. It's like we have to finish here, so they have to steer it.
Exactly.
In that direction. Otherwise, it would just be a lot of you hanging out, talking to different chicks, and it wouldn't be, you wouldn't, but because it's a reality show, there's only so much they can control.
Exactly.
And some of that, I guess, is through editing, as we've found out from quite a few of the people who have been in here from other reality shows.
Yeah.
But at the end, when I said, like, the contract is up, then it goes back to reality, and you're free to do what you want to do. So you're just dating around now, having a good time?
Yeah, it's been really cool. Just and the whole experience, you know, after the show has been really great. The people have been really really nice over at Fox, and I've met a lot of great people.
Are they going to do? I heard they're going to do another Joe Millionaire, but they're going to do some other kind of.
I don't think they can do another Joe Millionaire. I think they have a show that's in the works that. They have a working, it's under the working name Joe Millionaire, but it's not going to be Joe Millionaire.
Right.
They got a really neat show coming. You know, I don't know, but this might be, I asked somebody if this was the show that the working title was under Joe Millionaire, and it's called Mr. Personality. It's going to be a cool show. I actually will watch that. It's when they put the masks on those guys, and then the girl doesn't know what they look like, but she has to choose which guy she likes by his personality.
But he can.
That would actually work more than if they'd switched it around and had girls with masks on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'd have to just have a hole in the mask. Drew, what's going on over there? It's getting loud again.
No, it's fine. It should be fine. Let me try moving the mic. How's that?
Are you in like a nightclub or
something? Yes.
Yeah. Drew, now where are you in the nightclub?
I'm in a little radio booth right by the entrance.
Uh-huh. So
remember the pool where Aerosmith played?
Yeah.
I'm looking over that pool right now.
All right. And it's just a bunch of people coming in and out of the club?
They're behind me. They're I mean, what you're hearing is these giant rooms they have adjacent to all this.
All right.
That are packed with people. I mean, it's unbelievable.
With a bunch of good-looking college-age girls over there pulling their tops up.
Yeah.
All right.
But it seems to have attracted every alcoholic in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Is that Girls Gone Wild with Snoop Dogg or whatever?
Yeah. Florida, and Drew, you ought to do a Girls Gone Wild.
Oh, yeah.
With
Dr.
That's Drew.
That's Dr. right up my alley.
Double D, Dr. Drew.
All right. Let's, you could be hosting the late night infomercial porn bloopers.
Oh, I'll get the next call.
All right. Let's
be called next.
Let's talk to, I'm looking for a chick over here. Ah, Charlie's a female. Charlie?
Yeah.
You're 20?
I finally got on. Jeez.
What is up?
What is upper? Okay.
All right. Come on, baby. Let's go now.
How old are you?
I'm 20.
You're 20.
20.
Doesn't sound it, does she?
No, she sounds like about 13.
No. Mm-hmm. I always like when people repeat.
February 1st.
Hold on a second. I like when people repeat back to you what you said to them. Like, you go, how old are you? And they go, 20. And you go, you're 20? And they go, 20. It's like, didn't I say that? They do this with pronunciations of their names, too. Tell you how to spell it and pronounce it the exact same way you just pronounced it. All right, Charlie, go ahead. What's the question?
Okay. Well, what club is the guy there, Drew? What club is
All that? Right. You got a question or
I
not?
I do have a question.
Let's go.
When did your dad rape you?
No, I am not messed up at all.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, do all guys play with themselves?
Yes.
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 Okay, because...
You got three opinions right there.
Evan's doing himself right now, and he's using his right foot to do me.
Hey, listen. listen.
Yeah, hold on a second. Charlie?
Yeah?
You're good-looking, aren't you?
No. I'm ugly.
Are you?
Yeah.
No, you're hot.
Okay. Can you listen?
Are you hot or not?
No, I'm not.
You're unattractive.
Yeah. Just picture me as one ugly chick.
People have told you you're unattractive?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have a boy?
I had a horrible, horrible high school.
You're fat.
Drew, please.
Oh, I'm huge.
How tall are you?
Hey.
How tall are you?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
Oh, criminy.
Are you
okay,
how tall are you?
Can I tell you? I'm 5'8 and a half.
Okay, how much do you weigh?
Actually, 127, 130.
Yeah, you sound like a pig. 5'8 and a half, 120.
Okay.
You're disgusting.
Why do you want to know if I'm good looking?
I can tell you're good looking because you're a pain in the ass.
Because we're guys and we play with them. So
yeah, good looking girls do this. This is how good looking people do this, but good looking girls do it especially. They go, listen, 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 and then they don't say anything. That's how I know you're hot. When you go, everyone listen to me, everyone listen, listen, and then you say nothing. That's how I know you're hot.
Okay, my best friend boyfriend. We've been together forever. Okay.
Your best friend's.
We talk about. Boyfriend. He's a boy.
Your best friend's boyfriend.
No, my boyfriend. We're best friends. You know, we talk about everything.
Okay. You got a great relationship with your boyfriend.
Huh?
Yes.
You're saying you have a great relationship with your boyfriend. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. And anyways, he swears that he does not masturbate.
He's lying.
I hate that word. I hate it.
He's lying.
He's lying.
That's all there is to it. He's lying.
Hang on a second.
This is the thing. I went to college, okay?
Uh-oh.
And, you know, we missed each other so much. And like, there were times, like, when we talk about it, and, like, I even admitted that I, a girl, have done it before, you know?
You, the princess.
Me.
Of all princesses, touched herself, yet he did not.
I did. And he, I told him that. And, like, for days, like, he even made fun of me about for that. And like, and I'm like, shut up, you know, because right. I haven't told anyone that, you know, but hello, I don't care.
All right.
Anyway, so he swears that he hasn't, but yet
she,
when I went
she
to
keeps
college,
getting hotter by the syllable,
think,
by the
I think
way.
Guys, I think guys go through this period of time when they're like between a certain age and I don't know whenever,
like
whenever
all
start.
His friends, you know, they're like so open with it. I even walked in on his roommate doing it. It was so gross. And
I'm so sure.
All right, Charlie.
What?
Well, he probably got joked at one point. Somebody probably walked in on him, and he probably got joked, and now he's afraid to admit it to anybody, especially you. And so, he does do it though.
There is the occasional guy, that does
really
not masturbate.
Shut up!
Now
go
listen,
ahead,
Charlie. They still will have wet dreams.
Yeah.
Because if they don't pull the semen out of them themselves, God will take it out for them.
Right.
I'll take it out for them.
But it is unusual. It is really unusual.
Hello.
I use a shop vac myself.
I don't buy that, Big D. I just think,
Big D.
I do. I mean, you know.
So you think he does it? Okay.
All right, let's just say he does. But
nearly all guys do, but simply, there's just, unfortunately.
Once in a while, you run into a troublemaker.
Yeah.
All right there, Charlie.
Hey, Drew. You want to come out to South Padre?
South Padre? What's that?
South Padre Island?
Yeah.
It's another big spring breaker.
Ah, I see.
Yeah,
you go down there.
Which was the ERs? It's breaker, yeppers.
Yeah.
How do you do her? What's all
hey,
that?
Hey, Evan, you're pretty hot. I have to
Thank
let you.
You
know that.
Thank you. And I'm sure you're hot as well. I just wish you'd admit
it. No, I'm not.
I know you are. All right
okay,
there, Charlie.
Have a good night.
All right, baby doll. I'll tell you all the signs of being hot. First sign of being hot is only hot chicks said, When you punch them up, they go, well, it's about time. I was wondering when you're going to get to me. See, ugly people, fat people, scarred people, they don't do that. It's about time when they've been on hold calling a radio show. Hot chicks are always like, they're not used to waiting around. So that's the first tip. And the second is listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. I got nothing to say. All right. And when they do stuff like, I admitted that I did this, and he still didn't do it. It's like, this is hot me saying I masturbated.
That guy pulls his putt every day.
But if you had a girlfriend like that, she's a hot piece of ass, but you realize you can't communicate with her, really, because she can't form a sentence. So you just sort of BS her. We've all had those relationships. Let's talk to... all right, I'm going to get a guy in here somewhere. Let's see. Oops.
Please don't.
Leslie?
Hi.
You're the chick. Hold on a second. What's your question?
I actually had two questions, and I don't want you to answer it because I know your view. I wanted to know...
All right, well, then hang on.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Come on.
Well, she can't call a show and say she doesn't want the host to answer the goddamn question. How dare you? John?
Leslie. Oh, for Christ's sake.
She can just sit on hold for a second. John?
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere, Leslie.
My call.
You're 17. What's up?
Yeah. I'm living with my girlfriend right now. She's 22. I'm 17. I have a daughter, a 3-year-old daughter that I'm in love with, and she has 2 children, a 4-year-old girl and a 2-year-old boy.
Jesus Christ, it gets worse.
You got a 3-year-old daughter?
Yeah.
So you're 17?
Yeah.
So you got your girlie pregnant when you were 14?
Yeah.
And she has 2 kids.
I had the baby when I was 14.
And she has 2 kids.
No, this is a different girl
right.
I'm with now.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
But you got her pregnant when you were 13?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. All right. So... What goes on there when people open the door?
Oh, you heard that?
No.
Somebody's bringing me coffee.
All right. Well, tell them to slide the coffee under the door next time, would you?
They heard the door open.
You can see how important
your needs are to us. We're playing disco music and talking to Dr. Drew.
All right, John. I'm ready to focus now.
All right.
So you got a girl pregnant when you're 13.
Yeah.
I'm over that. And now you got a new girl, and you have your 3-year-old, and you're 17, and your new girl has a couple of kids.
How old is she?
She's 22.
She's 22.
Yeah.
Are you Hispanic?
No, she is though.
Okay, she is. All right.
Yeah. Okay. So. This is
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is the problem.
Drew knew someone was Mexican in this equation. He just he didn't know who. All right, go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
That's funny. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, so I discipline my daughter. I spank her sometimes, and I make sure that she knows, like, what she's supposed to do and what she's not supposed to do, and she's really well-behaved. But my girlfriend's children, she doesn't take the time to, like, discipline them at all, and they don't behave at all. And so, like, when we're all together, like, my daughter, like, soon she's going to be thinking that I have, like, double standards, how I treat her and how I treat the other children.
Yeah.
Yes.
How old are the other kids?
A 4-year-old girl and a 2-year-old boy.
All right. Discipline is not striking a child. That is abuse.
No. Right, right.
That's abuse. So go ahead and get a book called Time Out for Toddlers and mm-hmm. do exactly what that book says to all 3 kids. And then teach your girlfriend the technique you learn in that book. Time Out for Toddlers. It will change everything. It will give you a technique to use to discipline all 3 kids that you can use across the family system. And your girlfriend will be delighted, too, because it will make things a lot easier on her. When you actually do what works for kids, it's amazing the relief you have.
Now, what do you do?
And then when your daughter grows up and she's in jail, you'll know that Time Out for Toddlers worked.
You can
because I didn't do a thing when I grew up that, you know, if it was wrong, I didn't get popped on the butt. So, and I turned out okay. So, I don't know. I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
All right, so...
I'm with you, Evan.
All right, so, John, take it easy on your daughter's backside, would you please?
Oh, yeah, I do.
You don't have to hit her in the face,
okay.
But, I mean, a pop on the butt or just, you know, a little slap on the wrist ain't going to hurt anybody, you know?
Well, I'm glad that you had your kid. I mean, you got someone pregnant at 13, but you're being a man. You're doing the right thing. You're getting involved with someone. Now, just be careful about this 22-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, you know, even though you're sort of an old soul because you've been spending your high school years raising a kid, doesn't mean that you're still 17.
Right.
And this chick is 22, and there's a reason why she's 22 and has a couple of kids and no old man. And
right.
You don't want to add to that. I mean, you don't want to be the next ex old man. Do you know what I'm saying?
With a fourth kid now.
Yeah, and maybe her kids, too. I wouldn't I wouldn't say that's too far out of the realm of possibilities. But, John, you guys get together. Please don't have any more kids until you're at least 17 and a half. No, you guys get together. Stay together for a while. Don't have any more kids. Don't do any of that crap. We need one of our own. You got 3. You're 17. She's 22. You barely got a pot. No more kids, all right?
How old are her kids?
They're 2 and 4.
2 and 4, all right.
All right, John. Good luck.
All right.
Good times. Oh, my God. Picture a 15-year-old daddy disciplining his daughter.
See, part of the problem with the physical, what the research has shown very clearly is that you will contain the behavior for a few weeks, and then the behavior that you're trying to contain will rebound past the baseline, that kids will act out against that kind of discipline, so to speak.
Were you spanked as a kid?
No, but I'll tell you, I've done a lot of research in this. I work in the field, and I'm telling you, there is simply no justification for this in a time when we have things that do work. I'm not saying he's an evil man. He's taking care of his kid, and he's doing the best he can. But he will have an immense sense of relief because the child will conduct itself much better, and it's much easier on him when he does things appropriately.
What do they do with timeout for toddlers? They give everyone timeouts?
It's timeouts, but there are other ways to do it. But the point is, if you are getting to the point where you're so frustrated, you're hitting or you're yelling, there were mistakes you made five steps earlier. You should be disciplining kids much, much before you get emotional.
All right. Well, what do you do with the timeout? What do you have to do with the timeout?
You take them somewhere, you put them aside.
And they got to face a wall?
If they're in a restaurant or something, yeah.
What if it's fast food? It's not really a traditional sit-down restaurant. You could take the food home or you could eat it there.
One of the patio tables.
See, I never really got the yelling.
If there's outdoor dining, no, wait a minute. So, Evan, you never got, what'd you get when you were a kid?
We got a look, and it was we got a look and then the pop. And when we got the look, my parents didn't have to yell. When we got the eyebrows that went to the center of the nose and the glare, we knew we were in trouble.
What's your dad do?
Well, my mother did all the discipline, did all the disciplinary action kinds of things until I got so big that, it didn't really faze me. And then stepped in. Yeah, they never hit in the face. It was just a pop in the butt, and it was a grab of the arm, and they would pop me all the way to the car, if I did something wrong. And I tell you what, I thought twice next time I did it, it's just like, when my father told me not to touch the muffler because it was too hot when he was mowing the lawn. Well, I touched it and I burnt my hand, and it was a painful reaction. And, the muffler wasn't going to say, don't touch me or I'm going to, it wasn't a warm, fuzzy feeling. It hurt like hell.
So Drew,
and that's how I learned.
Drew Evans says, Drew Evans going to write a book.
Shock
where
treatment is what they call it.
Yeah, take a hot exhaust manifold and stick it to the kid's underarm. If he gets out of line, that would straighten him out. All right, Drew, what kind of timeout? What kind of timeout?
Call it branding for toddlers.
That's right. What kind of timeout would you get if you're at home? If you're at the house,
you're in your room.
But your kids have computers and satellites.
Yeah, but you'd be amazed at how they don't want to be taken out of the action. Whatever they're involved in, they're taken apart from it, and they it hurts them. They're humiliated and they're angry and they act. And then their job is to sit and feel all those feelings and learn to master that.
Yeah. I used to get thrown in the bathroom with the lights off.
Grasshopper.
Look how I turn out.
Lost all the feeling, grasshopper.
I got spanked one time. Luckily, my dad was like, he was such a pussy that he couldn't even beat his own kid. He just couldn't. My dad couldn't get up off the sofa for anything. So one time, he got really pissed off at me, and he said, I could tell he wanted to lay into me. And he said, look, either you can go to your room for 2 hours, or I'll give you a spanking. And I sized him up. He's not a big guy. And I was like, I'll take the spanking. So he had to go extra hard, because when you call for the spanking as a kid, you got to make sure it's a serious spanking. He gave me a good one, but that was the only time. And it was like no court in the land would convict the guy because I called it. Like, I was like, yeah, bring it on, Pops. I can take your best shot. Anything better than 2 hours in my room. Washing machine was in there.
Oh, tell Evan about your room.
You want to know what my room had in it when I was growing up, Evan?
Well, describe it first. Yeah.
Okay, my room was a converted service porch in a 100-year-old house. So it was technically would have been a porch. And it had, and Drew, you've been in this room, and you tell me if I'm exaggerating. If you take both your hands and spread them out, you can easily touch each wall.
Probably touch your palms on both sides. Your wrists cocked, touch the palms on both sides.
Yeah, the room was about 5.5 feet wide, and it was about 11 or 12 feet long. And in it was the meter, the electrical meter. So when the meter reader came around, you have to come into my room. The meter guy, that's a bad sign, by the way. When the meter guy's coming into the house, he's got to come into the house. Once a month, into the house, reading the meter, like hillbillies. It had the meter. It had the washing machine.
Better not have any pornos in that room.
No, you couldn't. No place to hide porn. It's like being in a prison.
Meter reader is going to be picking those up.
It had the meter. It had the washing machine. No dryer, because that was considered.
Did you get the furnace in there at least? You had free heat.
No furnace. No heat. No air. And
no window.
It had a window, but they're painted shut. And it was a fire trap. And it had the hot water. It had the hot water heater in there, too. It said the washing machine, the hot water heater, and the meter, all because it was the service porch. Oh, I'm going to sue my parents. If I thought they had a penny, I would sue them.
The ultimate indignity, though, his grandmother gave him a lecture last week after he bought a nice house to remind him that not everybody lives in a big house.
I was going to strangle her.
You got one spanking, and look at how he turned out.
I bought a nice house, and I said, yeah, it's a nice big house. And she looked at me, and she goes, not everyone gets to live in a big house. You know, my maid goes back to a very... And I was like, hey, you old bitch, what do you think I've been doing my whole life? What do you mean? You're giving me the speech? I'm getting the speech from you about what it's like to live in a small house? I live in a one-bedroom apartment with three dudes. Are you kidding me? You're nervy. Oh, my God, my family. They're never, like, giving me the speech. How dare she? She's getting it. That's it. I'm fired up. I'm going over there now, Drew.
You gonna spank her?
That's right.
Yeah, all right.
All right. Evan Marriott is our guest tonight. We will take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. He is in Panama City, Florida. Evan Marriott, the millionaire, is here. He just handed me a smoked almond, and
give him a plug.
He was telling me how much he loved them. And Drew,
yeah,
who loves a smoked almond more than me?
Nobody.
Man, there's enough salt on these things to put down a small herd of elephants.
Unacceptable.
I'm telling you.
Oh, I love a smoked almond.
In fact, every airline in the land knows about your love for smoked almonds, I believe.
Yeah, because they're giving out Fiesta Mix. Yeah. Which is just a dried crap with a bunch of powder on it.
And I think you start your tirade every time with, hey, how about some smoked almonds or something here?
Well, listen, we got all these pussies who are allergic to peanuts or allegedly allergic to peanuts that have cut me off peanuts on a flight. How about these guys step up with some almonds? Who's allergic to almonds? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cheap
cashews.
Cheap bastards in their Fiesta Mix.
Smoked almonds and a Sprite. Man, how refreshing.
I tell those guys, who eats this Fiesta Mix on the ground? You know a human being? Is there a vending machine on the land that carries Fiesta Mix? Does anyone go out and buy Fiesta Mix? No. They only serve it in airplanes because it's the only people who will eat it. I want my smoked almonds. Thank you, Drew.
Yes.
No, I'm good. I'll eat them on there. All right. Drew, when I'm elected, a chicken in every pot and a smoked almond in every mouth. An airplane. Thank you. All right, let's speak to Cassandra. Cassandra?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Okay, well, I broke up with my boyfriend like a month ago, and now he's going out with one of my friends, but like last week he told me he was still in love with me, and like I don't know if I should tell my friends or what.
Why'd you break up with him?
He was too attached, and he, like, called me all the time, and it was annoying.
All right. Well, is it any wonder that he's still in love with you?
He probably is dating your friend to keep around you or keep near you.
Yep.
Mm. Like, but how can
tell your friend that? See how they like it.
What's that?
How can I distance myself from him? Like, it's so annoying, and he's all...
No, you love it. There. You love it, baby.
No, I already have another boyfriend, so I'm just like, go away.
All right,
here's the other question. He's dating your really good friend. Is she that good of a friend if she takes on your boyfriend after you've already like bailed him?
She asked me if it was okay, and I said it's fine.
Oh, well, yeah. If you're passing a boyfriend around, that's a different story.
But doing her a favor.
Yeah. Hey, Cassandra?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you need to do, and here's what everyone needs to do with in these sorts of situations. If you don't give him any feedback for a couple of encounters, he'll leave you alone. Meaning, if he'll call, don't call him back. You'll see him in the hall. He'll try to confront you. You just sort of keep walking.
Of course, he's listening to the show, so he's going to know what you're doing. So that kind of kills that.
Right. Now, son, if you're listening, here's what you do to counter that advice. All right, son, you got to get a blow dart. Now, Cassandra, don't dance with him. Don't engage him.
Right. He'll go away eventually.
Yes, he will.
He's not disturbed or anything. He's not threatening suicide or anything like that, right?
No.
All right.
He'll go away.
Here's the problem with our job here, Drew, besides being me being a man deep into my 30s and talking to 15-year-olds about beating off all night.
Yeah, yeah. And then, except for that.
Then going off on 10-minute tirades about smoked almonds on the air, in air travel. But other than that, here's the other problem. So many people that call this show, we're not sure if they actually want to do what they're calling about. And here's right. what I mean.
Yes.
A lot of people say, this guy, he bugs me, he's in love with me, I dumped him, I don't know how to give him the message. But there's a part of them that likes the attention, and so yep. they're going to engage in the behavior or the dance that's going to keep yes. this situation alive, right?
Yep.
If I say, if you truly don't want to be around in any situation, if you truly want to get out of it, if you don't want to dance with the person, you can figure out a way to shut them down pretty fast. But great. If you like the fact, and who wouldn't, what 16-year-old chick wouldn't like the fact that there's some dude running around out there who's madly in love with them and telling them once a week? You know, in a way, I don't blame her, but in a way, she's not being honest if that's she says it. She wants to end it.
All right, here.
So if she wants to, don't talk to the person.
Next call.
All right, let's talk to, let me see. Drew, what is going on back there?
Somebody's coughing. How's your teeth?
Who do you have in the room with you?
An engineer.
Tell him to quiet down. Do you have to get a guy with tuberculosis?
How are your teeth, Adam?
My teeth hurt.
That same song was playing about 20 minutes ago. That's a long damn song.
True. What do they do with my teeth when they pull them? Is that medical waste? Do they incinerate them?
Exactly.
Do you think my tooth was incinerated?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
I think my dentist keeps them on a wall, like in his den, like trophies.
Well, he might make some sort of a sculpture.
Make like a like a necklace, like they'd make in Vietnam out of ears.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Evan, you see this? See, my jaw's a little swollen here. Tooth pulled. Yeah, really? Grosses everyone out. You want to see it?
That's good.
Yeah, it's like stitches. Stitches in the gums are bad. Yeah. Drew.
It's cotton in your mouth.
I didn't tell this to you. We're moving on. We're moving on. But I got to say this. You know, when I went to the dentist, they were like, you're going to be in the chair for a little while, so you better grab a movie. We'll play it up on the TV set. You can plug
Tower
in
Inferno.
Plug in Tower Inferno, yeah. And then they told me I better pick two movies.
Oh.
That's a bad, bad sign coming from the dentist, right?
What's the other one you picked?
I picked some National Geographic thing. But I think I was out by the time that came on. But wouldn't you take that as a bad sign if your dentist, you got a 2-hour and 10-minute movie in your hand? And he says you better grab a second one.
Yes. Oh.
Right? I mean, you get one movie on a flight to New York, right?
Oh, you just shudder to think, oh.
I was like, really? Listen, just kill me if you're not done. But if Towering Inferno is over, they're rolling credits, and you're still in my mouth, just take that drill and just ram it into my temple. and you can take my wallet. Take my wallet, too. All right. Let's talk to Summer, who's... 17. Summer?
Yeah.
What's up?
Nice name.
Yeah. What's going on, baby?
Well, like, about 3 years ago, I was living with my mom, and for about, like, the whole relationship.
Where are you living now?
In Nevada.
Okay.
With my dad. And about, like, the whole time that her and her boyfriend were together, like, he molested me and stuff. And,
How old were you when you started? Like, 13?
Hold on one second.
So anyway, Drew, he said take two movies.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back.
And then my friend Ray crapped in my Rams beanie. It's been a bad life. Imagine both those things happen. Imagine in your life, three things. Your buddy crafts your Rams beanie, your dentist tells you take two movies when you get in the chair, and there's a water heater in your room growing up.
And some girl calls up, has a question, and then gets off the line.
Oh, yeah. Sorry there, Summer. What's up?
So, okay. Summer, you were sexually abused for 3 years, starting at what age?
About 12, 13.
All right.
Yeah. And so, like, I really didn't know what it was, and then he had to go to this business thing, like, up the street, and he wanted me to come with him. And then, like, it usually starts with a hug and stuff, and then, like, it moves towards, like, the other areas.
Your stepdad wanted you to come with you on, like, a business trip?
No, it was, like, right up the street. He had to, like, make a business call for one of his employees or whatever.
Yeah. And clean a router out.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And so, like, I pushed him away, and he's like, well, I'm not getting anything from your mom. And I was like, oh, my God. So I finally knew, like, this is what it was. And then, like... So I went up and visited my dad over the summer, and then, like, my brother confronted me about it. Like, you know, has he ever touched you? And I was like, oh, my God, I never told anyone this before. So, like, I told my best friend when I got back, and she was like, well, don't tell your mom. And then me and my mom got in this big fight, and she was like, well, you're moving with your dad. So I was like, well, I'm just going to tell you what your boyfriend did. So she doesn't believe me, so I...
Today, Junior!
Yeah. All right, well, you're... Okay, let me tell you, for a couple things. Your mom's despicable.
Yes.
And I'm sure someone molested her, unfortunately.
Oh, of course.
Her dad did it, like, once, so she thinks that I want to be like her, and I want to say that, but it happened
oh,
for, like,
my God.
2 years, like... straight 2 years
ago. Oh, your mom. My God, I'm
so
sorry.
Yeah, so she thinks that I'm just, like, you know, want attention or whatever.
Now, she... let me explain something, Summer. Unfortunately, your mom doesn't think. I mean, she got molested, and she magically hooks up with some a-hole who molests her daughter. That's unfortunately how this horrible
how
life
this,
works.
Right, that's how humans react. That's it.
How your God,
abused?
Drew, laid it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not my God.
Yeah, but, I mean, she's all in it for the money.
Like, did your dad know?
Yeah, but he thinks that I totally made it all up or that I provoked it.
Oh, that's
all right. Here's the deal, Summer.
How about
kids
you,
never.
Does your brother believe
provoked
you?
Provoked it. You provoked it.
Did your brother believe you?
At first he did, and then he's like, I don't really believe.
Do you have a history of lying in your family or something?
Well, like, I've lied a couple times, but like, I've stopped that. You know, I've told the truth. Like,
all right.
How do you
provoke it at age 12? Or some sexy underoos or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
Oshkosh sexy...
It's a bib overall.
How old is your brother?
Well, I have two brothers. Like, the one that I told, he's 19 now.
Yeah.
And I have an older brother that's 21.
Yeah.
If somebody even hinted that that my sister had been, you know, sexually assaulted, that guy wouldn't even be around.
Yeah, when I told my brother, he was like, oh, I'm going to kill this guy. And my mom was like, she called him up. She's like, well, you need to come down here. Someone's making all these accusations that you touched her. And my brother just grabbed this big-ass pole, and he's just like, oh, you know.
I don't know. It sounds like an episode of Cops to me, guys. What
yeah. Well, all right. We got some. Look, first off, there's always trouble when you go, I'm living with my dad in Nevada. Yeah. Any sentence that starts with dad is bad. All right, Summer, let me explain in a nutshell what's going on. By the way, I like the idea that your brother grabbed a pole.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really supportive about that.
Yeah, was it? Well,
how many houses have poles?
I think I remember seeing this on Cops, really, and there were a couple people outside that were using double negatives, and the place was in an uproar.
Folks,
Hound Dog was roaring, and
I have a pole.
What did he do with the pole?
He grabbed it.
Well, my mom called him back up and was like, well, I don't think you should come down here because Jared's threatening to hit you. So,
all right.
So he didn't come.
All right, Summer, let me explain the ironic and tragic, tragically named Summer. Let me explain your situation and the hand that got dealt to you. You fell into a den of white trashdom. You understand? You have white trash parents, okay?
Oh, well, they're not white trash.
Yes,
like,
they are. You better hope they're white trash.
Yeah.
They're white trash. Okay.
But you had said that your mother's in this relationship with her current husband because of the money. But the reality is that would not work for her unless he were an abusive a-hole. She seeks and is attracted to people that are victimizers.
Yeah.
And she's found one, and she's victimized you now, and she cannot come to terms with what she's created here, so she pushes the whole reality away. Why your dad doesn't accept that reality is unfathomable.
Well,
thank God you've got one brother that's sane. Stick with him, and you're going to need to get some treatment for this abuse you've been through and the crazy family.
And Drew, think
it's
about...
more than that, you know.
All right, but listen, I can't stomach anymore. Here's the thing. And Drew, why do you think Mama married biological dad in the first place?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, where'd she find him? No,
Summer,
not,
you
no,
the
not
youngest?
Money, Summer. Forget about the money thing.
It's Summer, are you
money.
The youngest in the family?
Between both my parents, yeah, but I have a younger half.
Okay, bottom line, I would try to seek help for yourself, and I would get as far away from them as possible, because until they get their lives straight, they can't help you with yours.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to want to help you with yours,
right.
So you need to take matters in your own hands. Yeah. And you're 17, I think you're smart enough to do it.
Well, I mean, like, but I found out, like a couple months ago that I'm bipolar, but I wasn't properly diagnosed. And I told my dad this. I was like, Dad, I think I have problems, you know, and he's like, oh, it's all in your head, you know. I was like,
all right, listen, Summer, stop going to your parents.
Yeah.
They're
no
idiots.
Satisfaction there. You won't get any satisfaction.
All right. Listen, I tell people to do this all the time. You heard me cursing my father and grandmother just moments ago on the show.
Again.
Abandon your family.
I'm appalled.
If they're bad, if they're not good people, if they're not taking care of you, if they're abusing you or hurting using you in any way, feel free to abandon them when you're 17, 18 years old. Get your friends, get your life, get an apartment, and get started. That's it. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew in Panama City, Florida, everybody. Evan Marriott. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Introduce Evan.
Evan Marriott is here tonight from Joe Millionaire and soon to be a...
I'm here from Venice Beach.
I'm
done with Joe Millionaire.
You can find him in a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial coming up, too. Drew, what were you going to say?
I was telling someone, I was thinking about how last time we were here, we were filming the show for MTV, and our special guest was Mike Myers.
That's right.
I think I went over this with you, and we were trying to figure, he was promoting a movie about a secret agent, he had bad teeth, it was a throwback to the 60s, we like couldn't figure it out, like, what, huh?
Yeah, and Mike Myers kept telling me, It's Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. Don't just say Austin Powers.
That's right.
Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. That's the title. And it's funny that he sort of clung to that, and it was like almost immediately gone. But it was kind of weird when he was like talking to us, and he's like, Mike Myers was a relatively big celebrity back
at the time
but he was not as big as he is now, obviously, and Austin Powers had not come out yet, and he was like, well, it's like kind of a retro 60s, I play this guy in these crazy clothes, and we're kind of sort of looking at him going,
okay,
well, this thing's gonna come and go, this is gonna be like Cop and a Half or something. This is not gonna hang around. So there you go. Turned into a franchise, and I got to believe, Drew, that it wouldn't have had the success it had he not been on our MTV show from Panama City.
That goes without saying, of course.
Okay. All right, let's get to some calls here. I'm just going to hit who's been on hold the longest.
Bad strategy.
It's always the kiss of death.
Hello?
Leslie?
Hi.
All right.
I have two questions for you.
Yes.
You held this whole damn time?
Well, because I want my answer.
Do we have a prize for this chick, or what? I mean,
prize?
God, that was an hour ago.
A prize will be an answer.
Good God. Yeah.
Go ahead, Leslie.
I wanted to know, when does looking at porno become an obsession?
An addiction? When there are consequences, and when the consequences increase, and yet the behavior continues. So spending money... ruining relationships.
Money
to the point that it's a problem.
Right.
And screwing up relationships or work.
Okay. Well, my husband, probably looks at porn just about every other day. And it bothers me. And because he knew it bothered me, he would always hide it from me. And then I finally told him, don't hide it from me, because then that makes me even more paranoid, thinking of what else are you hiding. And I was just wondering, what is... something that I can do to get over it, because he's out.
What is it?
Join him.
How much?
What is
porn?
It? The money?
Yeah.
Well, I have, I have an issue with porn. I look at it as it's kind of an exploitation.
You're fat,
Drew. Please,
yes, it's exploitation.
Oh, well,
it's exploitation of people, and I have a hard time getting into that, because it's like most people that are doing that either are on drugs or you guys say.
Don't
some
ruin
kind of
it
problem.
For us. But Leslie, let me ask you this. What kind of porn is he looking at?
Mostly, he'll go on the internet or he'll have videos.
And how much time does he spend on this?
Probably an hour every other day.
And is he masturbating?
Probably, yes.
Yeah, I'd say the answer's yes. And you guys having a normal sex life?
Well, we probably do it once a week. It just happens that we have opposite shifts. So when we see each other, we do it, but it's probably just once a week.
Is he wanting more than that?
Well, yeah, he would probably do it
That's probably why he's looking at the porn.
Right.
Yeah,
you go. You're not satisfying it, so he's going there.
All right, so Leslie.
At least he's not cheating or anything. He's not straight.
No, he would never.
And every other day, if it was every day and he's jacking off 8 times a day, then I'd say you might have a problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
Every other day, an hour.
But I agree, except for I move it to 12 times a day. 8, I see as normal. All right, listen. Leslie, I kind of like the part where she was up front with him, and I kind of like the part where he was up front with her.
Yeah, but all right. Well,
they need to meet in the middle. They need to meet in the middle.
What's the second question?
All right, I put her on hold. I'm done with her.
Hey, she was on hold all that time. What's the second question?
I'll tell you my third question. When is your engineer going to take some Robitussin?
That was me coughing. Oh. That was me.
All right, stop it.
How do I deal with it? I mean, how do I meet him in the middle?
What's your second question?
How do I meet him in the middle?
That's the second question?
Yes, I gave her her second question,
yes,
Drew.
I know.
Now
yeah.
answer it. True.
You compromise. You figure out a way to do it. You wow. reach. You,
what
you
do you
give
mean?
A little, he gives a little.
That's your answer to how do I meet in the middle? You compromise?
Yeah, I don't know how to compromise.
Why not?
Well, I mean, I don't know how to meet him halfway, and
look,
I don't.
You're
know
not willing to. You have to be willing.
But what should I do to meet? I mean, it's not that I tell him he shouldn't do this.
Except the fact that he's going to masturbate.
Are you jealous of the fact that he's looking at the porn and not at you?
Well, no, I don't have a problem with him masturbating. He can do that 100 times a day. I just it bothers me that he's
not going to do it unless he looks at something.
Guys look at porn. I mean, yes, there's an addiction, there's an addictive point, but guys look at porn. I don't care if you're 80, I don't care if you're 10, guys look at porn.
Yes.
They look at porn. Final line.
I shouldn't, in other words, I shouldn't take it personally.
Correct.
No.
It has nothing to do with you. Except
right.
that he would probably like to have sex more frequently.
I mean, if
that
it's
may
affecting,
be part of your compromise, by the way.
If it's affecting your cash, I mean, you know,
look,
flow. And
most women that have difficulty with their guys looking at porn have other issues
yes.
involving this. Leslie may well have that. On the other hand, there's no reason why the guy couldn't be a little more sensitive to her yeah. issue. So
that's a compromise, right?
She should not freak out as much. He should be a little more sensitive. Everyone gets along.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Spanked kids.
Oh, it's 54, Adam. Thanks. Adam.
All right. All right, buddy. All right. I know. You're always looking to cash out. I'm always looking to help the kids.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. That song, and I think it's because it signals the end of the show. What a wild roller coaster ride this week has been. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam. And last week, too.
Yes. I want to thank Evan Marriott for coming out tonight. And
the live studio audience.
Appreciate you making time in your schedule to stop by. I want to thank producer Ann for doing a great job all week and last week as well when we were out of town. I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phones and on the coffee. I'm going to thank Tara. Don't call me Tara, goddammit, for
Why?
Doing a great job on the phones and sometimes the coffee, or at least yelling at Brian to go get the coffee. And okay. I want to thank the Magic Fingered One. Oh, yes, the Liberace of the potentiometers.
Thought I'd talk to you about that.
Engineer Anderson.
Anderson.
That's right.
Anderson Bueller.
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Next up, Joe Millionaire Finger Bangs.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.